You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello, one and all. Welcome along to the William Hill Golf Podcast ahead of a new golfing week. We have the Dubai Desert Classic and the Waste Management Phoenix Open to look forward to on this edition of the podcast. Dave Kellner here alongside Mike Grenham and Dave Tindall. I've got your seat this week, Mike. I'm about a foot lower than everyone else here in the studio.
Yeah, you normally give me the dodgy seat. Yeah,
that's good week to see. I'm looking down on you for a change.
How are you doing? Well?
In good form now that I'm looking down on you.
Dave Tindall, you?
Yeah, I'm looking down on you too.
Yeah, no, you're perched high up on your throne
peak,
there.
Yes. Lofty peak. He's got a little week. Baby seat. He's got a little train from. Yeah. It's nice. It's nice for Dave.
Spoon feed me. Here comes the train.
Let's talk about last week before we get stuck into this week. If we have to talk about last week, John Rahm, the winner around Torrey Pines in the.
Look at those little gritted teeth that you've just said that through.
Yeah, I've had to. Great performance from John Rahm at the Farmers Insurance Open, Mike. A performance that had been expected, I think, but to do that around that golf course on your debut in the event, was it Jadon Blake, I think, the last winner on debut?
Is that right?
In the Farmers Insurance.
Right? Yeah, which was probably why no one, not many people backed him for the event, did they? Because, yeah, I think it is an event, as you say. When did Jadon Blake win?
I've no idea. I think it must have been the 80s. It
must have been a long time ago.
Sega Mega Drive's Jadon Blake.
Yeah.
Sort of 19...
Is it that long ago?
Yeah,
he
thing,
still plays
it?
On the Champions Tour, actually, yeah. Jadon Blake. Little moustache. Yeah, a player that you've been following, so that's why it's the gritted teeth, I suppose, to explain.
Yeah, I suppose so.
And he does look like a real talent, and he won well from a field that weren't grabbing it with the rest of them, were they? There was a few people getting there, then stopping in their tracks, you know. But he, he needed a little bit of luck on the last, I suppose, as well, didn't he?
Yeah, I don't think he needed it in the end, did he?
No, it probably, it helped. It helped. Yeah, didn't it?
People saw the leaderboard and thought, yeah, oh, can't win. That's it, gone.
Yeah, it does help, doesn't it?
Yeah. But as you said,
fully deserved, don't get me wrong. You know, you earn your luck, don't you?
I think you made a good point, though, in the fact that those chasing weren't exactly grasping the nettle at that point.
No, they weren't. You could look at virtually all of them and they were kind of getting there, then stopping, weren't they? So, the likes of Finau and Howell and
Patrick Rogers.
Patrick Rogers did the same.
Yeah.
So they didn't really. They gave him an opportunity, and he came from 6 under, wasn't he, on the final day? So it'll be a decent price on Sunday morning. I must admit, I didn't check that, but what a good player he looks.
Shot 30 on the back nine, Dave, and sealed it with that fantastic eagle at the last. That was one of two eagles on his back nine, and the world is the oyster now, isn't it?
I know, and you, but I mean, the amount of times you've talked him up and that phrase, you follow him off a cliff. Well, there is a cliff at Torrey Pines, and
yeah,
you didn't follow him.
There's a few cliffs, yeah.
I'm at the you've bottom
been,
of it now.
I've been at Torrey Pines, I have, yeah.
Is it as good
not
as
to
it
the
seems?
Cliffs. I only went around the clubhouse because I'd have been kicked off the course if I'd have gone any further. But a lovely place.
We're talking about John Rahm. We had another young winner on the European Tour in Zhongyun Wang, who was impressive in his own right in the Qatar Masters last week.
That was his debut as well. So two players seeing the course for the first time. Are you good enough?
They were talking about him as on the coverage as well as a future major winner, almost as if it was a certainty.
I found that Wang. A little bit bizarre.
I did
know
as well.
What was going on there? I was watching the coverage thinking, is this the same fella that I've seen? He looks good, but I was a bit shocked by some of the claims being made on his behalf. Did you hear it, Dave? They were like literally saying this guy, it's not how many, it was how many
Yeah,
majors?
Well, it was how many, not if he wins one, it was how many he's going to get. Which
he wins 3 times in 9 months. It's pretty impressive, isn't it?
Two of them are fairly low-grade events, aren't they?
Yeah, I'm with Mike here. I think you might win a major championship,
yeah,
but you've
might.
Got to remember there's only 4 every single year, and you're talking about him winning European Tour events rather than...
People do allocate them around us if there's 20
yeah,
a year.
Well, precisely.
Yeah,
precisely.
He won the Trophy Hassan and the Mauritius Open before this. You know, they're not marquee events, are they, by any means? So he looks a great prospect, and you could argue that saying in the Ned banking against a good field is probably better form than the two wins. In fact, it almost certainly is. But I didn't have him. I don't have him down as a certain major winner.
I know which major I'll be backing him in, but I'm not going to tell you.
Okay. And when you compare him to someone like Rahm?
Well, I'll be surprised if he wins a major this year, whichever one you back him for. That's my gut feeling.
Yeah, I when you compare him to someone like Rahm, Mike,
yep.
That guy it will win major championships.
Yeah, correct.
Wang, I thought it was a bit premature anyway with him, saying he's going to win major championships.
Don't want to be too fair on him, because he's got great potential, but he didn't absolutely tear up the majors last year, did he? So I think he missed the cut in the Open and the Masters.
What did he do last year?
Missed the cut in the Open, sorry.
Yeah.
And the PGA, that's right.
Yeah, I don't think he's played in the Masters yet.
No, I don't think he has. So, but look, he looks a great talent. It's just a bit early for the certain major winner for me. I was really surprised by that. Mm. But they must, having said that, those guys are out on tour following them. They must have seen something, yep. And they're not donuts, are they? So,
not all of them.
Some of them, maybe.
But Rahm does look fully formed, doesn't he, already, somehow?
If you're having a match bet on future success, he'd win, wouldn't he?
Yeah, he would. Yeah. He would. I'd take him in a match bet against most players, to be honest, right now. I think the way Phil Mickelson talked about John Rahm, he clearly knows, doesn't he, Dave?
Yeah, he tends to sort of, position himself alongside some of the future prospects, doesn't he? He gets an inside view at their game, and he's really says he's something very special. Mm.
Let's get stuck into this week then, chaps. We start off with the Omega Dubai Desert Classic, and Henrik Stenson is the 13-2 favourite here with William Hill. Rafa Cabrera-Bello is 18-1. Sergio Garcia, 20s. Tyrrell Hatton, 20-1. Bernd Wiesberger, 22s. Andy Sullivan and Martin Kaymer are both 25-1. Zhongyun Wang, 28-1. Matthew Fitzpatrick, 28-1. And it's 33-1 and bigger the remainder. The quality of this field, Dave, maybe not as stellar as it has been in previous years, but the tournament bound to attract plenty of eyeballs because Tiger Woods is in the field and he's 40-1 this week. It's Henrik Stenson, though, that heads the betting, Dave. And we talked about this off-air before we came into the studio. The weather forecast looks slightly unsettled for Thursday, with the winds expected to get up in the afternoon. We're recording this on Tuesday afternoon, so things might change by the time it comes around to tournament time.
Yeah, when I wrote a preview for Roto World, the bad day was Friday, so is it moving backwards?
It could be.
It's one of those ones, it's dangerous. You've seen it time and time again in Open Championships. You kind of try and base your selection, and the weather goes the other way, and you think, that's not fair. But I don't know. I think if you've got a solid picker you're very convinced about, I wouldn't let the weather put you off him.
Okay.
Put it that way.
Last year, Danny Willett won the championship, and it acted, Mike, as a catalyst for what was to come in the following months. The year before, Rory McIlroy won. So we've had two pretty high-quality winners back-to-back.
Yep.
The golf course itself, it's not a long golf course, measuring just 7,328 yards and playing to a par of 72. Mm. But it suited the long hitters.
Yeah, you definitely give it a lash off the tee, can't you? And then hopefully you hit your greens in regulation and you've got a good chance. So, yeah, but I would agree with you. You're looking for someone who can at least get it out there a good way, because I think the shorter hitters are a little bit disadvantaged on this course.
Okay. Selections, Mike?
I've gone for just a top 10 bet, so I'll leave mine till later.
Okay. Dave?
Just the one.
I've just got the one as well. Go on, lead us off, Dave.
All right, I'll start spelling out his surname, W-O-O-D, and I'm stopping there. Not adding an S. Yeah, Chris Wood is the same price as Tiger Woods. That's crazy. What's that about? Hopefully you'll see I'm on Chris Wood rather than Tiger Woods. But yeah, Tiger Wood, I don't know. Anyways, Chris Wood, I want to focus on. If you're worried about wind, he's a player who can play in wind, obviously having come top five in back-to-back Open Championships. So far on the desert swing, did miss the cut in Abu Dhabi, but he actually shot a second round 68 there, so that gave him a little momentum going to Qatar. Qatar, normally one of the windier tracks that you get. Nice final round 67 there to finish tied 11th. He was second on the all-around stats in Qatar as well, so his game is in really nice shape. So I think if you can find a nice course for him, one he's done well on before. Well, he's got five top 25s in his last six appearances in the Dubai Desert Classic. So it is an event that he plays very well, as do lots of good Lynx players. I'm never quite sure quite why. I suppose the wind, maybe, and it's quite
open.
Yeah,
you think maybe that would suit them last week more than this week, Qatar, which tends to get a little bit more windy.
But you've seen Tiger, Marco, Mary, Ernie Els, Thomas Bjorn, all do really well here, and they're all obviously excellent Lynx players. So Chris Wood in that category. I just think 40s is a really good price for someone who really has kicked on with his game. Obviously, he made his name with those open finishes, but last year we saw him made his Ryder Cup debut, and he was actually one of the few Europeans who came away with that, with their reputation enhanced a little bit.
Yeah,
played really well, and he won at Wentworth, of course. You know, the sort of flagship event on the European Tour. So that was a really big year for Chris Wood. I think he can kick on again, and I think that's a nice price for him, 40-1, in a field that there's a lot of kind of guys up there. We talked about this last week: Cabrera, Bayo, Wiesberger.
It definitely lacks a little bit of star quality when you compare it to Dubai Desert Classics of the past, Mike.
Yes, it does. It does. Missing it. But Tiger's back, I suppose, for the general public. He's the most important person by miles. We just don't think he's likely to win. That's why we're playing down his appearance. But for the viewing public, he's number one.
It's great to see him there, yeah.
So if you add him in the mix, it probably levels it a little bit, doesn't it?
Yeah. Chris Wood at 40-1 then. I've got one pick as well at a big price here. Jorge Campillo is my selection at 125-1. Spaniards have had plenty of success at this course in the past, and I'm hopeful Campillo can enhance their record. And I think 125-1 is a decent price as well. Started the season very strongly, Campillo, with a tie for 10th at the Hong Kong Open, followed by a 39th place finish in Abu Dhabi, and 13th he finished last week in Qatar. That 13th was particularly encouraging because it came in very similar conditions to what the players will encounter this week. I think nerves probably got the best of him last week, in all honesty. Third round of 75 derailed any chance he had to win, but bounced back with an encouraging final round of 66. Not a monster hitter, but has put on distance year on year, and that's cost him his accuracy in the last couple of years from the tee. I just think he's a really good fit this week. Course form's not stellar, but it's encouraging that he's made the cut on all five of his appearances in this tournament. So Jorge Campillo was my
very good
selection.
I'm going for a top 10 bet that might surprise you a little bit, but I'm going to go for Lee Westwood as a top 10 bet.
No, I like that.
11-4. Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't put people off doing top five either. Four of the last 6 years, he's been in the top 10. He missed the cut last year, actually, which is a bit of a blow. But 9 top 10s in the last 17 outings here in Dubai. So it's a pretty regular occurrence. It's shared of odds on if you took those. If you believe those figures. And he started the season well. He was 13th at the end of last season in the DP, 8th in Abu Dhabi. And I think, all right, he might not win, but I fancy him to give a good run, a good account of himself, and finish there or thereabouts, 5th to 10th maybe. What price is he top five, Dave?
He is in the top five finish market available at 13-2.
Attempted, couldn't you? For me, he's one of these players that when he's on, he does get top three even. Yeah, look at his major record.
Second in the Masters last year, wasn't he?
That was unbelievable, that performance in the Masters.
Yeah, so he's still from nowhere.
He can still play, can he? And I watched a little bit of him in Abu Dhabi, and I thought he's looking reasonable. I mean, he's got a third in the British Masters and a fourth in the Omega event in Crans Sur in the last 7 or 8 events, as well as those two ones I've just mentioned out in the Middle East. So put it all together, and I just thought, I thought this was quite a tricky event to pick a winner in, I have to be honest. Stenson obviously looks very good, but he's short and isn't that reliable. So I just thought, either top 10 or top 5. 11-4, top 10, 13-2, top 5, did you say?
Yeah, that's it.
Take your pick.
No, I like that.
It was on my shortlist, just a little bit short at 33s in the outrights, but it's a good way of playing him.
Yeah, because I don't quite think he'll win.
Yeah,
for why, he hasn't had many wins. I think 2014 was his last win, and I think it's about 3 in the last 6 or 7 years, if you actually look. So 33-1 is probably not his win chance, but his top 10 odds look good at 11-4. Yeah. Paradoxically, he's a bit like Charles Howell maybe on the US tour.
Yeah, definitely. You know? You've made hay if you're backing him in those top 10 markets season
absolutely.
So far.
Never wins, but, you'd fancy that Westwood hole enough putts to win, but should get around there. He has got, I think he's got a late tee off, which could be a little bit of a concern. But I'm thinking top 10, I'll take the risk.
Yeah, definitely. Any others you want to mention then, Dave Tindall?
Well, keeping on the theme of Wood, Chris Wood, Westwood, Tommy Fleetwood. you've got to think maybe last week was just a reaction to his win in Abu Dhabi.
Yeah.
So having the weekend off there, I'd expect him to come back here strongly. Got a feeling he might go well. And, you know, take out last week, he would have been shorter. He would have been around 22s, wouldn't he?
Yeah, you'd think so.
Now 33. So Tommy Fleetwood, yeah, I'll keep an eye on him. Afi Bharat's been playing well as well.
Yeah, he's 40-1. I like another Englishman as well, Jordan Smith at 50-1. Man that won the Challenge Tour last year, the Road to Oman, and he's playing really well at the moment. Finished third in the South African Open, sixth in Qatar last week, and I would have had a few quid each way on him, but he's out late as well, so yeah. I'm not.
Has he ever played here?
No.
Don't you think course form's quite important here?
Yeah, that's a fair comment.
You know, a lot of multiple winners out there. Just a debutant would worry me slightly. No, I'm not saying, obviously, the evidence of last week proves that they can win, but this is a course where, you know, good course form matters, doesn't it? So, you know, someone like Stephen Gallagher, I think, could play quite well at 80s. He's showing a little bit of a revival, wasn't he? But I think he's
back
missed his last two
cuts. Yeah, he was, yeah.
I think he's missed his last two cuts, but he's got a phenomenal record here.
It's daft, isn't it? He holidays there with his family as well, doesn't he? So it's doesn't kind he? Of like, just yeah. knows it inside
yeah,
out.
Yeah, inside out, yeah. I thought Ollison might have got a mention from, was it you picked him last week, Dave?
Yeah, he's just a bit flat. He got a hole in one last week and closed with like a 68, and that included a 7 on the final hole.
Right.
So, you know, that could have been a 65, and he's, you know, might be a bit more enthusiastic, but
third, fifth and eighth in the last four years.
Yeah, it's there, isn't it? His course form, yeah.
Just and it's similar price to last week. It's actually slightly bigger than last week, isn't it? 33-1, I think. Yeah.
Just with him, I think, when you look at his patterns of results, I think he tends to play this one well if he's already had a good performance in the desert and the other two, and he hasn't really.
Okay. Yeah. And just other than that, two outsiders that I'll mention, Mickey Willinan's a massive price, who does have some form here. Might be a bit of a runner in top 20 markets, top 10 or something like that. And I'm expecting to see Peter Uihlein come good sooner or later because I think he's talented. But I'll be watching both of them this week, so we'll see. Also be interested to see how Martin Kaymer plays because I always think he plays well here. But he's just looking like a bit like, I think we mentioned this already, not looking like likely to win anymore, is he, for some reason?
He's having trouble closing out events, which is a shame for one of the best in the game at doing that, or he was anyway. Yeah. Peter Uihlein, by the way, is 9-4 in the top US player market that we've got here at William Hill. The other that's competitors in that market.
Feeling that, isn't it?
Yeah, Tiger Woods, David Lipsky, Daniel Im and Paul Peterson. So if you do think Uihlein not maybe quite ready to strike yet, but you want to oppose Tiger Woods
like
this
that.
Week, that could be an angle in, definitely. Shall we move on?
Go on.
Waste Management Phoenix Open is the PGA Tour event this week, and Jordan Spieth heads the betting here with William Hill at 8-1. Hideki Matsuyama is 10-1. Justin Thomas is 12-1. John Rahm is 20s. Brooks Koepka, Bubba Watson, Phil Mickelson and Ryan Moore, all 28-1. Patrick Reed and Ricky Fowler both 33s, and it's 40-1 and bigger the rest. Have you been to this event, Dave Tindall? Thought
no,
this would be one that you'd have
no,
gone to.
I'm too shy and introverted.
You've not been to this one.
Not a major, is it?
this field's rock solid, isn't it? It looks like a high quality field this week. Scoring's not been as low the last 2 years. Since Tom Weisskopf did his alterations, the scoring's been a little bit tougher. I think last year it played to around about, I think it might have played over par for the first time in over a decade last year at the tournament. But we've got all those top young players at the top of the betting here, Mike. You look at those top four now, Spieth, Matsuyama, Thomas and Rahm. Matsuyama, Thomas and Rahm, of course, all recent winners. And Jordan Spieth, who hasn't won for a while now. Is in there as well, but it's a young man's game anyway at the top of the betting.
It certainly looks it from those five players at the top of the betting, doesn't it? Yeah, absolutely. But Phil Mickelson's not without a chance this week, so the old boys aren't out of it yet.
Bombers have often had success around this golf course. Mickelson, as Mike just mentioned, won the event three times, Dave. And even though it only plays to a par 71, it's not that long. You can just hit the driver with freedom around TPC Scottsdale.
Yeah, I think the main stat, I think if you do that, you've got to follow it up. A lot of the greens and regulation guys do really well here. Looking at the stats in the last few years, when Matsuyama won last year, he was top for greens and reg. Fowler and English, who were second and third, they were in the top eight. Boo Weekly was fifth, was second for greens and reg. And then the year before, Koepka was fourth for greens and reg, Matsuyama fourth, Palmer second, they were the top three. So
right.
Those with really good, you know, iron play, I think that's the key this week.
Yeah, I like that shots getting tee to green stat here, because if you look at last year in particular, those all the top 10 pretty much were there, thereabouts on that stat. So that was one I was looking heavily at. It's obviously linked to greens in regulation. So that and the shots gained. They're getting complicated, these, by the way, aren't they? Shots gained approaching the green.
Yeah, which is what Dave's saying about iron play, basically. Yeah, being
that's put even closer to greens in red because it takes out the tee shot. But they were the two stats I was looking at. They're important every week, you could argue, but...
Particularly this week,
yeah.
What? How many picks have you got, Mike?
One.
I've got two here.
Two.
Okay. You go ahead, Dave.
All right. I'll go then. I'll start at the front of the market because we've just mentioned it. I like Matsuyama.
At 10-1.
Yeah. When he went on that ridiculous run at the end of last year, what was it? 4 wins and 2 seconds.
Yeah.
I was sort of thinking about this event. I thought, I wonder what he's going to go off there, and. I thought it could be terrible. It could be anything you like. But double figures, I think he's okay. I mean, he's had three goes around this course, fourth, second and first. So no course on the PGA Tours he had more success than this place. I suppose one thing you've got to think is, does he defend well? And that was something I looked at, because I always like to think, do players with the extra pressure? Because Ricky Fowler's terrible at defending titles, got a really bad record. Just some players are. But he seems to be excellent. When he won Memorial in 2013, he was fifth the following year. Dan, I even looked into some of his Japan form. He hasn't actually defended many titles there, but the ones he has, he was second the following year in the Dunlop Phoenix and fourth in that Taiyo Masters thingamajiggy that he won as an amateur. So he does go back. I mean, as well as defending, it just shows he goes to the same places and plays well.
I fancy him every week on the Japanese tour, though.
But some of these were back in 2013 and stuff. So okay. I think it's just he's comfortable going there as a defending champion, especially that one at Memorial. When I looked at that one and saw he was fifth the following year, I went, oh, that's good. So an extra little few bonus points. But he's just playing such good golf. You could argue maybe he's dipped in the last 2 weeks, but I think we discussed on here at the Sony Open, where I think he was 30-odd, he'd missed all four cuts there previously. Last week at the Farmers... Again, he was kind of midfield, but again, he'd missed the last two cuts there. So relatively, his two performances were pretty strong. But this is the one where he really, you know, kicks on and shines. I think 10-1 is fair enough. Of those top four in the betting, he's definitely the standout for me.
Hideki Matsuyama, 10-1 for Dave. I'm going for the man you went for last week.
I'm just seeing on your list.
My number one pick
here. Yeah. I did look at him myself.
Yeah, JB Holmes, I like at 40-1, playing a point each way. I think it is a very difficult event to have a really strong opinion in, because all the top guys have solid credentials here, and most of them play the course very well as well. But JB Holmes is a two-time winner of the event and has also finished fifth in 2011 and sixth last year. And I like that he's got that sixth place finish since the redesign as well. And was very encouraged by his ball striking coming back from a break last week. Might have been an issue early on in the tournament, but it was a decent pipe opener for him, I think. And he finished the tournament brilliantly well. In the final 27 holes, he made 8 birdies and didn't drop a shot. And he's... he finished 33rd in the end, but you got to upgrade that slightly, because his iron play was very strong on Sunday in particular, and just his style of being able to just get the driver out of the bag and rip it really suits around TPC Scottsdale, a course that allows you to do that. And I think 40-1's fair on JB Holmes.
He started badly last week. I obviously tipped him last week.
Yep.
He just didn't get going, did he? And he was always scrambling then after to make the cut or whatever. So, yeah, I give him a lot of thought this week, Dave. I can see where you're coming from totally.
What's your number one and only selection?
I've gone for Scott Piercy in this event.
I like him as well.
He's my third.
Is he? All right, yeah. Good. Yeah, well, you can maybe back me up on this, guys. 5 top 15s from 8 events here. Not played so well the last 2 years, but before that, a third and a 15th in the 2 previous years. Is in very decent nick over the last year or two. Got seconds in the Bridgestone and the US Open last year. and has actually got 3 top tens in his last 7 events. So he didn't play a bit like Matsuyama. He didn't play brilliantly at the Sony, and he didn't play very well at Career Builder Challenge either, where he was 41st, but it wasn't horrendous. But not that long ago, he was 4th in the Mayakoba. His shots gained tee to green and approaching the green are very good in 2017 season. Top 20, in fact. So I think at 66-1, he makes quite a bit of each way appeal. He's a bit of a desert rat. He's from Nevada. Obviously, this isn't very far away. I think he'll give a good account of himself at that price.
Yeah, I think you've said pretty much everything there. Desert form's very strong.
Good.
And he's a very good player as well, 66-1, Scott Piercy.
Just a couple of bits of detail. He shot a 61 round here when he was third. And even last year, I think Mike said he was, 40-odd? Yeah, if you look at his round scores, he shot 65 on day two. So, you know,
he's got it in
the
bag.
He keeps going then, shooting low numbers. So, yeah, I think he's a nice bet this week.
Those big finishes last season must have given him quite a boost. Yeah. You know, to be setting in the US Open and in a WGC event.
I think he's world number 36 now, isn't he? You know, he's not like 70 or 80. He's a proper...
He is about that, Dave. Let me check. I've got that website near my mouse here. Yeah, 36, you're bang on. Yeah. Good effort, yeah. So you'll see that he's been in very solid form, and this is the kind of event at that price where I think he's well worth a go.
Needs to stop doing Twitter Q&As. That's the only thing about Scott Piercy.
Why, what did he do?
He just
does them when he's bored at airports.
He does them when he's bored at airports, and someone will ask him what his favourite course is, and he'll respond, I don't know. and he just does that continually. Have a look at his Twitter feed if you ever get a chance, Mike.
I'm hoping that won't stop him winning.
No, he's not the most insightful golfer on tour, I don't think.
He does speak well of this course, as you might imagine. They asked Matsuyama, why do you keep playing well here, 4th, 2nd, and 1st? And he just sort of went, I don't know. hasn't got a clue. It's quite sort of refreshing in its own way.
Yeah.
But when I read his quotes last year when he won, he reckoned he had a bad back, and all his quotes were, I didn't hit it very well, didn't put it very well.
Right.
So if he can win when he's not happy.
All goes well.
Matsuyama's got a massive chance this week, yeah, absolutely.
What's your second pick, Dave?
Yes, the second pick, another guy who you would probably term a desert rat, lives in Nevada, Ryan Moore, 28-1.
Him and Mickelson were very, very close to me. Yeah. If I'd had two bets, it would have been
one. I like Mickelson as well this week.
Mickelson probably slightly edging Moore as well for me, but they were very close.
Yeah, I think I've always in this event down the years, I've always looked at course form as something really to, you know, as a good pointer. I've always backed people on the back of good course form. And Ryan Moore's definitely got that. He's had 6 top 20s at this course. That includes a 4th and a couple of 6s. Last 4 years, he's not been worse than 17th, a couple of top 10s in there as well. So he plays this one really well. It is one of those ones, maybe the course form thing is, you know, that this is the most highly attended event, isn't it, on the PGA Tour, and around the 16th when they go mental.
Yeah.
And then just generally there's so many crowd, people going mad and everything, that sometimes players don't like it. I think
most of them do, though, don't they?
Most of them do, but... They can say that, but I'd rather look at their actual results, whether they can handle it.
Yeah.
And he clearly can, and he said he loves the atmosphere because he's quite a quiet, deep-thinking kind of guy for a golfer. Could even be one of these 0.0001% of golfers who didn't vote Republican. But he does like it. He saw in the Ryder Cup, again, another really loud, raucous atmosphere, really played well there. So I think he does really enjoy it when, you know, there's a lot going on, and his form is really kicked on. Another player, Fate is as an amateur, but didn't win that much early on, but now he's won 4 times in the last 5 seasons.
Yeah.
Had that really great year last year when he made his debut on the Ryder Cup team. And I thought 28-1 was very fair for a player in the best form he's ever been in on a course that he really liked.
Very good. 28-1. Ryan Moore is Dave's second selection. I'm going with Roberto Castro at what I think is a really big price at 125-1 as my second pick. Definitely caught the eye last week, finished 28th at Torrey Pines. Was very good statistically, though. Actually led the field in greens in regulation last week, Roberto Castro, and driving accuracy as well over the 4 days, which is no mean feat. You wouldn't maybe have this down as the perfect fit for him. He's more out of the Mark Wilson mold, who's won here,
You don't have to be a bomber, do you, necessarily? Probably helps, but...
Yeah, I think
Mark
it helps.
Wilson,
but
isn't.
Yeah, and is it Kevin Stadler's won here as well? You wouldn't call him a bomber,
long,
would you?
Was he, no?
But he's played this championship twice and finished inside the top 20 on both occasions. Definitely find his fair share of greens in regulation. Then it will be down to the putter, which is certainly an Achilles heel for Roberto Castro. Never really putted well on tour. But as you mentioned earlier, Dave, greens in regulation, key round here, and to lead the field at Torrey Pines, no mean feat last week. So I like him a lot, Roberto Castro, at 125-1.
Yeah, well, last year, Boo Weekly and John Hurt were in the top 10.
Yeah.
They're not big hitters, are they? You know, that's just without even thinking about it too much. So I think hitting it a long way probably isn't a harm here, is it? But it's not the end of the world.
No, it's not the be-all and end-all, definitely not.
I like that's a good call. A big
Castro.
Big price.
It is a big price, 125-1. Yeah, for a player that has played well in big events last year on tour as well.
Yeah.
You mentioned Mickelson. Any others?
Mickelson must go really close. I think he's playing really nicely at the beginning of this year, isn't he? He's just really solid. This will be his third outing, I think, this year. So, and he loves Phoenix. So you just imagine if he starts well, he'll be riding a crest of a wave. So, if he does start well, I'll be betting him. I think he was probably closest for me.
He's the fan favourite there. He went to college there, didn't he? And they definitely sort of adopted him as one of their
own. Played it 28 times, hasn't he? Now?
Yeah,
which is
really
unbelievable. Yeah,
God,
28 times he's played this event.
Did he win it as an amateur?
Oh, now
is that the other one?
No, yes, he did. Yes, he did. I think he did. Yeah.
I'd have to check that.
Oh, it might have been the other one that they used to play in Phoenix. We definitely won an event in, it might have been that Tucson one.
Oh, was it? Tucson, oh, yeah, maybe. Yeah, that, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, he's done all sorts of this course. Do you remember that year when he had the putt for the 59 and it lipped out?
I do remember that. That was only a few years ago, wasn't it? Now?
Which he won, didn't he? He went on to win that event. But
the two I liked at the top of the betting as well, Patrick Reed, I thought was a decent price at 33-1. And it wouldn't surprise me at all, Ricky Fowler, if he goes well this week at 33-1 as well.
It's a big price, isn't it, in theory?
It's a very big price for a guy he should have won this championship twice already. Blew it the first time when he failed to go for the green on 15 from like 220 and laid up.
Did it the wrong way around last time.
And then blew it last time by, he hit it in the water twice in the last four holes to allow Matsuyama into the playoff and then hit it in the water again. So he's got unfinished business with this golf course. Loves it, doesn't he? Because he has all his friends there, all his family there. And it has been feast or famine at this golf course for Ricky Fowler. But it could be feast this week. And 33-1, I think, is a fair price on him.
Yeah, absolutely.
Breaking news on
that. I was just pointing to the fact that it was the Tucson Open. Yeah, it was. Around the Phoenix Open. But all the rest of that stuff was...
1991.
I was sneaky on the internet there while you were trying.
1991, was it?
1991, yeah.
I think I read no amateurs won on the PGA Tour since. Does that sound right or wrong?
That sounds right to me.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah. Shane Lowry's won on the European Tour as an amateur since.
Irish Open, wasn't it?
Yeah, Irish Open, but I don't think anyone's done it on the PGA Tour yet. Any others you want to mention there before we wrap?
One, if you want a three-figure price, I thought Kyle Stanley was a big price because he won this event. Do you remember that? He had those two incredible weeks when he blew a three-shot lead at Torrey Pines.
He made seven on the last, didn't he?
Yeah, was it an eight?
Eight, it could have been, yeah.
Yeah, and then lost the playoff. And then came here, I think he was 66-1. He came here 66-1. You expect him just to be sort of skulking around, thinking, oh, what have I done? And then he comes out and wins this. His putting's been...
He backed Brad and Snedeker to win the week before. That's what it was. Yeah. It was Snedeker, wasn't it, that got the benefit of that?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, well,
That was the one where his ball rolled agonisingly down the hill into the water, wasn't it, I think?
Yes.
Yeah, so, I mean, his putting's been horrendous for the last few years, but it's come back a bit of late. Nothing great. He's still way down on the strokes game putting stats, but he had a lot of top 25s, if you look through his last maybe 10 results. Played quite well at Torrey Pines last week as well. Might do well 100-1.
I'm a little bit worried about Brooks Koepka because I picked him last week and I could see both the guys I picked last week. Maybe I picked him in the wrong week, you know, him and JB Holmes. But he didn't play well last week at all. Or he started well and then played like a buffoon.
Yeah.
But obviously he's one here and I really rate him.
Yeah. Hopefully it's JB Holmes that steps up this week.
For your benefit, I hope it is.
And I can't leave the podcast without mentioning John Rahm. What sort of price did you expect when he won last week and he's coming to this course where he finished fifth as an amateur? Did you think he'd be 20-1?
No.
Or you thought it'd be shorter?
Obviously,
Dave?
Because Spieth, Matsuyama and Thomas have taken a chunk out of the market. But I thought it'd be what he did last week, I thought he'd be 16s this 16, week.
Yeah.
I thought you wouldn't have seen more.
Yeah,
than
I was going to say, I wouldn't have had him any shorter than 16, 16, no. 18, 20. I don't think 20 is ludicrously generous, but I could see why people would think it was worth an interest.
You could see him going in again, couldn't
oh,
you?
Oh, for sure, yeah, absolutely.
Without a doubt.
Yeah, once that's... Justin Thomas is a prime example of that, isn't he? You know, you get a bit of momentum
Do
and
you think
off.
Ram's a bit more excitable and he might have trouble coming down from that win, whereas Thomas is more sort of just flatlined, steady?
Maybe. I don't see it being an issue, though. I think I think Ram could just continue to roll this week. I really
do. Were you thinking of going in again?
I was thinking about it. I think 20-1 doesn't scream back me now.
That's what I meant a minute
yeah,
ago.
I think 25-1, I'd have been thinking, yeah, he's going to be a pick for me.
Yeah.
Even though I'm still sulking about last week, I think I'd have had to back him at 25-1.
He's got to be a player you don't want to win, hasn't he?
No, I think the player I don't want to win has got to be Mickelson. Because he came closest at 28-1,
exactly,
so I'd say Mickelson's the player I don't want to win this week.
Yeah, for me as well.
Dave?
I had a look at Pat Perez, actually, because he's been playing really, really well.
Yeah.
Some form here as well. Just a slight worry that I've read some stuff that when he goes back there, everyone sort of wants to be his mate and it gets a bit partyish,
yeah,
even though he's settled down.
Hometown,
yeah. Yeah, but 50-1, I think it's a fair price if you like Pat Perez's form's really, really good.
Let's recap the selections then. Mike, your picks for this week?
14 points win, top 10. No, I'm not having that much. A point or two, whatever people want to play. I just think he'll be there or thereabouts for the top 5 or top 10. I'll go top 10, I think, at 11-4.
Yeah.
And in the Phoenix, I will have a point each way on Scott Piercy at 66.
I'll go in the Dubai Desert Classic, a point each way, Jorge Campillo at 125-1, and in the Phoenix Open, point each way on both, JB Holmes at 40s and Roberto Castro at 125-1. Dave?
I'll go a point each way, Chris Wood in Dubai, and then in Phoenix, I'll have a point each way, Ryan Moore at 28s, and I'll go 3 points win, Hideki Matsuyama at 10s.
Ooh, yeah.
Very good.
I'm quite pleased because I didn't say a stake for the Westwood bet, so if it wins...
Yeah, you've had a lot on.
And if
you've
not,
had a lot
it
on.
Was half
yeah.
a point.
10 points, Matsuyama.
I've got it past the teacher. Who's the player you don't want to win, Dave?
Mickelson.
Us. Yeah, exactly.
Mickelson, definitely yeah. Mickelson. I've not got one in the other event, to be honest, because with the... I am concerned about those tee times, because if it is really windy on the Thursday afternoon... and you back a player from that side of the draw, you could be scuppered before you've even got started there, basically.
Yeah, it shapes like one of those that could be 3 or 4 shots, doesn't it? And
yeah,
that's a lot to make up, isn't it?
Definitely, definitely.
So, well, the value's not with the guys who are going out late when that happens, that's for sure. I always think the time to back those guys who are out late and get the worst of the weather on the first afternoon is to back them after the first day. Because if they're still in the running, they're not too far back, they're probably half decent odds for the next
Well,
time.
You know they've played well, don't you?
Yeah, you can take a shorter price. Yeah, really, knowing that they're probably in a decent spot.
Mm. Thank you for listening to the podcast, everyone. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at Dave Tyndall Golf, at M Grenham, at D Kellner. And if you're having a bet, make sure you check out the William Hill odds as well. That's www.williamhill.com. Check out all the prices for the golf this week. Remember, you can check us out on audioboom.com, type in William Hill, and subscribe to the podcast to get it delivered via iTunes as well. Thank you, chaps. Thank you, Mike.
Thanks, Dave.
Thank you, Dave.
Yeah, cheers.
And thank you, everyone, for listening. Myself, Mike and Dave will be back next week.
Get a £5 free bet every week with Offer Club from William Hill.
Hey-o, let's go, let's go.
Simply stake a total of £20 or more across the week on pre-match football accumulators with 4 or more selections, and you'll get a £5 free bet on the Friday. Plus, you can get on faster and easier than ever with our new and improved mobile betting experience. Join William Hill Offer Club on mobile or online now. When the fun stops.